Welcome to episode 542 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Josh, this year was a, kind of weird Thanksgiving here in the U.S. How was your Thanksgiving?
Quiet, uneventful. It's just the four of us. We would normally be traveling to your neck of the woods, and I would get to see you, but not this year. Not with the insanity of this year.
Nope. But alas, we have Zoom. We can see each other now.
Right. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was also quiet. We planned on getting together with another couple in our bubble, and we test before we do that, and our test results didn't come back until yesterday, so we didn't get together with them.
My daughter needed to get tested. She went and got tested. I think it was the Friday before Thanksgiving. We got the results on Thanksgiving. Like, I'm sure that most of the people that were there, because it was at the local university, I'm sure that everyone else who was there that was getting tested was like, I got to get tested before I go home for Thanksgiving.
Right. Exactly. And our friends are like, oh, come on. You guys don't go anywhere. Come on over. We're like, no, we're not doing this unless we have a level of confidence. And right. Yeah.
It's not something to want to mess around with.
Nope. But hey, we're not here to talk about COVID because enough people are doing that. We are here to talk about digital entertainment. And normally we would start with messages from our listeners, but I don't think we have any. And you know what? It's kind of okay because the holiday and all of that stuff.
Right. So the other thing that I did want to ask you before we get into the rest of the news, though, is while it is Thanksgiving, at least in the United States, it can be really easy to forget that there is that Thanksgiving even exists because of Black Friday. So Black Friday isn't really a day anymore. It's like a week or a month or more or whatever. But there were tons of deals. Did you get anything over the weekend?
Oh, Josh, you know, I figured I would be fine, right? And then all of these email newsletters that I get that I normally ignore and just get like pissed off because I get one every freaking day. I was weak. I was so weak, Josh. I think I probably spent upwards of like $500 or $600 in total. Much of it was needed stuff, but I bought some clothes. I bought a new pan. I bought some tech stuff. Just like,
that's the stuff we want to hear about. What tech stuff?
Yeah. I wish I could remember actually. I honestly don't remember. When it comes in and I'm reminded, I'll talk about it. But I mean, nothing enormously exciting. And I look back and I'm like, seriously, how did I spend $600 in something like 48 hours? But apparently I did.
All right.
How about you?
Not a ton. I kind of deliberately stayed away from the ads more than I normally would. Like, I'm the one who, like, I like going through all the ads just to see, like, what sorts of insane deals people have on TVs and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm not buying a TV. I don't even want to be tempted. I don't want to be like, oh, I want a TV. So I didn't even look at any of that stuff. And I didn't really look at much video game stuff. I mean, I've got my Xbox and I know what games are available. There aren't any big ones that I was like, I've got to buy this new game or I've got to buy this game on sale because I've been waiting for it. Because like, I'm already behind on games I own. So I actually showed a lot of restraint in that area. I can really only think of three things that I bought for myself. I bought two online like courses for guitar stuff, you know, learning different guitar things, because they were on crazy deals. And then I did buy one piece of technology. I bought the latest Nest thermostat, the one that's not smart at all. It just kind of looks pretty on your wall.
Well, and is remotely controllable.
It is, yes. It is a connect. You and I like to make the distinguish between smart devices and connected devices. Right. This is a connected device. It is not smart. So I'm excited. So I got the new Nest. I think it was like $55 through my natural gas provider. So that was a deal that I couldn't really pass up because I kind of needed a new one anyway, because the one that's on the wall is like 12 years old. It used to be white plastic, but it's 12-year-old plastic, so it's more yellow than it is white, you know? So
yeah,
new Nest should be here tomorrow.
That's cool. I'm really glad you took advantage of your local provider discount too, because as soon as you told me that you bought that, like, and you may not believe this, but I went to like your area's electrical provider and gas provider to see if it was possible to get discounts on thermostats. Cause I was like, geez, I hope you took advantage of these things.
Oh yeah. That's always the place where I go first. And they normally have a few options. Like I know that they've, I don't know if they currently do, but they've had Ecobee on there before too. So, and the more expensive Nest, the one that's actually smart, the Nest learning thermostat is on there, but I didn't need that one. So yeah, that's it for me. All right. So that, I guess that fills the place of our feedback. So next week, if you don't just want to hear us ramble about things that we recently purchased, send us some feedback, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just go to the website and use the contact form. So getting into our news, you know, I would say one of the biggest, you know, video / streaming news stories of the last few months has really been the new Chromecast device from Google and the Google TV service that they've, I don't even want to call it a service, because when you say service nowadays, it makes people think of subscriptions. The new Google TV app that they've got running on that and on Android devices. And while the hardware itself is great, that new Google TV app experience is what really made the device, right? Like, that is why we were like, well, I don't know, maybe the TiVo Stream 4K, maybe you don't need it so much now, because this thing has got similar functionality where you can tell the Google TV, these are the services that I subscribe to. I've got Disney Plus and Hulu and HBO Max and Netflix and maybe some of those others, and then add the shows that you care about to your watch list. And it's video streaming video panacea, right? Until this week. This week, they must have gotten in a fight. Not a public fight, not a public rift between them and Netflix, but Netflix content no longer showing up. And if you go into the app, even on your Android phone, and go to the section where you can add the services that you have, Netflix doesn't show up. Try searching for shows that are on Netflix, they don't show up. It is not there anymore.
Yeah. This is not surprising, unfortunately, because Netflix has pretty much done the same thing with Apple. And my bet is that Google used its size and power and position in the market to just arbitrarily decide these are the most popular services. We're going to index their content because, oh, by the way, we're good at doing that, and make it available to people through a universal discovery engine. And Netflix was having no part of that. They don't let the folks at Apple do that either. They do let TiVo do it because they have an agreement with TiVo. So I expect that they didn't have anything formal in place and they yanked the rug out or gave them a cease and desist or something similar. This is very frustrating to me. And it's one of the things that infuriates me about Netflix and Apple. And I don't think this is Apple's fault. This is Netflix wanting to be in control of the discovery experience. They have said as much. And full disclosure, I own stock in all three of these companies. But they need to figure out how to get along and make this work, because Netflix, there's more than you. There's way more than you. And the only way to make this work for consumers is to make it available across platforms, integrated with other content.
Right. So I know that this is an audio podcast, but this is going to be my first plug for getting people to come and watch us live on on Twitch on Tuesday nights, I've got a visual representation that explains why you can still see all this Netflix content on a TiVo Stream 4K and not on your Chromecast. This is why.
Right, exactly.
That button right there on this TiVo Stream 4K remote says Netflix.
Yep, Netflix.
It's money.
Netflix got a deal where they have their name, their button on that remote. That is exactly right. So,
you're reaching for a Chromecast remote.
Reaching for my Chromecast remote, and you're not going to freaking believe it, but there's a Netflix button on it.
Really? Huh. And they still couldn't manage to make that work.
Now I am just befuddled. So who knows? I mean, my theory could be out the window already in just 3 seconds like that. But come on. Come on, folks. Just make this work.
Right. It's 2020. We need some good things to talk about. And Google and Netflix coming together.
We need people on both sides of the aisle to get together and make things better for all of the people. That's what we need to happen. Google and Netflix starting that would be a good start.
That'd be nice. Be real nice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have happier news. This is really, really happy news. Well, unless you own a Roku. So HBO Max, as I mentioned, is going to release Wonder Woman day and date with a theater release that nobody's going to go to, so that we can all watch Wonder Woman 1984 on our screens at home. And people were almost within minutes up in arms that, oh, but there's no 4K HDR. There's no Dolby Atmos sound. There's no any of these great things that, yeah, it's going to be there. It's going to be there. So,
yay. And there was much rejoicing
in
the streaming video land.
Exactly. On all the devices you'd expect, on Apple TV, Amazon Fire Stick, Amazon Fire TV Cube, the Chromecast Ultra, Android TV devices, you're going to get it. If you're in Roku land, you still don't have HBO Max, so you're not going to get this either.
Nope.
Sorry. But this is good news. This is really, really good news, because I think this was many people's biggest complaints about HBO Max is they have some of the best content that exists, period.
Right.
But it wasn't available in these superior formats.
So, Richard, you're kind of a disc snob. Are you going to watch this on HBO Max, or are you going to wait for the disc?
No, if I don't have to pay for it, I am absolutely going to watch this. I will still buy it on disc when it comes out, but I am absolutely going to watch this. Yes.
Okay.
How about you?
For sure. Yeah. I'm hoping to score an HBO Max trial, because while HBO Max does have lots of great content, most of it is stuff that I'm not a Game of Thrones guy. So, I mean, I know there's a lot more than just Game of Thrones, but I don't know. I'm struggling to think of much else that really jumps out at me is stuff that I really want to watch on HBO.
Yeah. Have your kids seen the Miyazaki Studio Ghibli films?
No.
I
haven't even seen them.
Oh, they're so good. That might be something really interesting to consider.
Yeah, I forgot that they had those. That would be a good opportunity. I have been wanting to watch those. Friend of the show, Marcus Lyons, he's like regularly tweeting about how good those movies are.
Oh, they're wonderful.
And I need someone to like recommend, like, what's the one that I should start with? And is it one that I could watch with my kids? That's what I need people to tell me.
That's fair. So my two absolute favorites, the first one is Howl's Moving Castle. It is weird. I don't think it's frightening. I think it's good. I think there's it's something that kids would enjoy. The one that caught my attention, though, the first one that I ever saw, was the one that got, I believe, the Academy Award for both audio and a movie, if I remember correctly. The soundtrack is friggin' amazing, which is Spirited Away.
Hmm. And that one's a fairly recent one, isn't it?
2001.
Oh, so not. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all of these, I think the most recent one that anyone really knows is like 2013. So, okay. Well, and the most recent one that Miyazaki did is still yet to be released because he has a new one coming out. But his most recent one realistically was, I think, 2010 or 2011, something like that.
Okay.
So definitely worth looking into. Spirited Away, I think, is a little scary, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I think for kids, the more interesting one is probably going to be Howl's Moving Castle.
Okay. And for anybody else sending in recommendations, reminder, I have a 12 and a half year old and a 7.5 year old.
Yep.
Both girls.
Yep. Good point. Good reminder. Good context.
Yeah. I mean, a 5-year gap is pretty significant when it comes to, to movies.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, a little bit of audio news this week. I guess this is another one of those stories. Yeah, it kind of spans the gap, right? So it goes in audio because it's for Amazon Music Unlimited, which most people are using to listen to music. So it's audio news, but only kind of, because the news here is that Amazon Music Unlimited, you know, one of Amazon's 14 music services, is now offering music videos for certain videos. Obviously, they don't have music videos for everything out there, but lots of them. And like I said, of the 14 different services, this is only available on the paid tiers. Like if you have Amazon Music and you're doing an ad-supported model, you're not going to get to watch any music videos. But if you just search for songs, the music videos are going to show up in their own separate section of the search results. You know, it'll be a music videos section. They're also going to make video playlist, so you can just go and watch whole playlist of music videos, which I think is cool. Like if you want that classic MTV kind of experience back when they primarily played music videos, that would be cool. Like if you're working from home on the couch and you're listening to music anyway, make it music videos. Why not? Well, maybe because it'd be a little bit distracting for some of you. I don't think that would be good for me, but it could be cool. So you can also, like if you've made your own playlist and stuff, then it'll be visible within your playlist which songs have music videos. And then you can just click a little toggle and it'll switch from just being audio to being the music video. So, you know, nothing revolutionary here. Lots of other services have been doing this, but this is a pretty popular service, especially if you're already deep within the Amazon ecosystem. Amazon Music Unlimited is only $8 a month if you're already a Prime subscriber. It's $10 a month, which is the same price as Spotify and pretty much everything else if you don't have Prime. But how many people have Amazon Music Unlimited and don't have Amazon Prime? I'm going to guess that's a pretty small number of people, right?
I'm confused by that comparison. I guess, I forgot that there was a difference in price for Unlimited if you're a Prime member. This is so confusing. All right. So I have a question for you, Josh. You are a Spotify user primarily, right?
Yes.
Do they offer a service like this? It's interesting that you don't know the answer off the top of your head. Well, because that answers my next question. Would you use it?
I probably wouldn't use it because I would find it too distracting. So they do have this, I don't know how to describe it well because I'm sure that there's a really good corollary to like Instagram or Snapchat or something like that, where what they do on the mobile app is a lot of songs, when you're playing them, it will do like a 5-second like looping GIF basically of like what I'm guessing is part of the music video. It's kind of weird.
I have never seen that. Okay.
it's really kind of weird.
Huh.
But other than that, I don't I don't think they do. You know, the big one that you really think of when it comes to music videos within your music service is YouTube Music. They, of course, do this.
Right.
And they're really good at it. But I don't think Spotify actually has full music videos. And if they did, I would expect to see it on Android TV, which I use Spotify on my Android TV fairly regularly, and I've never gotten a music video to display.
Hmm.
So they must not.
Interesting. I would think this would be most interesting on a TV. I could be wrong, but hey,
yeah.
You know, my Apple TV has this, and I think my Apple Music service also has this. I've never launched it once. I mean, I like the idea. They also have a music channel. You can just listen to music like, and it's curated. It's not a playlist. It's a curated channel, probably curated by AI, but whatever. I
right.
I still have not used it. I don't know. It's cool, I guess.
Do you ever like turn on your TV, a TV in some room, like just when you're doing chores around the house or something like that?
Yep, news.
Oh. Yeah, I don't do that.
I'm kind of surprised by that. Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, I turn on the TV, but I don't watch news. I'll normally, if there's sports, if there's a sporting event that I care about, that'll be the winner. If not, I'll be like, what looks amazing? Like it, something 4K that just when I walk through this room will grab my attention because it'll look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And like frequently it's been like that Harry Potter Fantastic Beast movie because we've got it on disc and it looks amazing. So,
yep.
But I don't give a crap about that movie. Did I watch that movie? I think I did see that in theaters with Jen and was bored out of my mind, but Harry Potter movie is not my thing.
You know, one of the things, I know I quote these guys all the time, but one of the things that Brian and Tom talk about on Chord Killers all the time is this idea of just a streaming station that you just turn on to have in the background. Like the idea that somebody could come up with the right mix of stuff, and it could be different genres or different themes for different people, but something that you would want to just have on in the background, and maybe you pay attention to it, maybe you don't. But it emulates that experience that you're used to if you grew up or are used to having cable TV.
Right. I was actually thinking about something like that just last night. I had kind of a free night, and I had been looking at my personal inbox. It was just getting out of control. And I was like, all right, tonight is the night I'm going to deal with my personal inbox. I'm sitting down on the couch with my laptop, and I'm going to solve this. And it'd be cool to turn something on, but I sat there for like 20 seconds going, what do I want to watch? Nothing. Like there's nothing I would turn on right now, because if it's a show that I really like, I'm going to want to pay attention to the show, not the email that I'm working on. And I'm too distractible. Like even if it was like, you know, I mentioned that I've been watching episodes of The Office with my family and stuff lately. Even The Office, like I would end up just watching The Office instead of doing the work that I was trying to get done.
Right.
The one area that I'm able, or the one thing that I'm able to do that with is sports, especially hockey. Like I can, when hockey season is going on and I'm subscribing to the NHL package so I can watch any game that's happening, then I'll just turn on the most interesting game and do whatever it is that I need to do. And I can kind of just listen and I know when to look up and pay attention. But for any other type of TV, I just can't do that. Hmm. Not news or regular TV shows. Can't do that.
Yep. Yep. I'm not enormously surprised. I think we've spent a whole lot longer than we expected to on a largely uninteresting story.
Sharp-dressed Penguin in the chat has a great recommendation. He says he uses Pluto for this and puts on the American Gladiators channel.
Pluto is perfect for this, actually.
It really kind of is. I love that suggestion. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to some gaming news. And we're going to start with some gaming hardware news. NVIDIA announced just today their latest card, the GeForce RTX 3060 Ti Founders Edition. They've reviews dropped on websites across the internet at 9 a.m. Eastern this morning to talk about this card. A little bit of a recap, because that's a lot of numbers there, and it can be hard to keep track of all of this stuff. So NVIDIA, this is the third generation of like really good cards. So that's where the three in the 3000 comes from. The RTX, the letters there, the R is for ray tracing. So these are really, really awesome cards that can support ray tracing. It's the second generation of cards that every card in the generation could handle ray tracing. And then the last two digits are the numbers that kind of really matter. So they go from like 3060, this new one. It's the newest one in the series, but it's actually at the bottom end of the scale. They've got the 3060, 3070, 3080, and 3090. Most people kind of tend to gravitate towards like the 3070, the 3080 period, or that range, because you get lots and lots of great performance at a somewhat reasonable cost. Although, I don't even know that I can really say that anymore. The cost of these cards has just gone insane. I think the retail cost of the 3070 is $700, and the 3080 is like $1,400 or something like that. And I don't really think that's reasonable. But anyway, so this is the 3060 Ti, just came out, and everyone wants to know, how good is it? How does it compare to the other things? It's obviously not going to be better than the 3070 or any of those cards above it in the line, but how does it compare to previous generations? You would, at the very least, expect that it's going to do better than the 2060, and it does. It's significantly better than the 2060, but it's also amazingly even better than, in some cases, it's even better than the 2080 Super, which I don't think the Super was the absolute like beast mode version of the previous generation, but it was a really, really, really powerful card. And in a lot of cases, especially at 1440p, this 3060 Ti outperforms the 2080 Super. I mentioned 1440p because it's really the sweet spot for this card. It'll do 1080p with no problems. It'll do 1440p basically with like ultra settings on most games at frame rates above 60 frames per second in most cases. At 4K, it's not going to be the ideal card for that. You know, if you want 4K, you're really going to need to splurge on those more expensive cards, or else you're going to have to turn some settings down. But if you're doing 1080 or 1440p, this is a great card. It's a really great card. We're going to have a link in the show notes to IGN's review of this card. And I kind of just want to read for you real quick their summary. So they say the RTX 3060 Ti is an absolute winner for the mainstream gamer. If you can't afford an RTX 3070, this is the next best thing, topping even the RTX 2080 Super and blowing the doors off of 1440p ray traced gaming. If you're looking for 4K, you're better off saving your pennies for a more powerful card. But for anything less, this is an absolute banger of a graphics card. Now, I already told you the 3070 is like $700. This one, $400. It's significantly less, but that's still so much money for a graphics card. It's technically available tomorrow, which would be December 2nd, which is yesterday if you're not listening to this live. But it's probably going to be like impossible to buy, because all of these new cards have been impossible to buy. So good luck getting your hands on one of these. GP3 is correcting me in the chat. The 3070 is $500 and the 3080 is $700. It must be the 3090 that I was thinking of that was like $1,400 or something insane like that. All right, so that's it on the RTX 3060 Ti. Going to move on to a little bit of Xbox news here. Phil Spencer sat down for an interview with the Decoder podcast. It's a new podcast from The Verge. And in that podcast, Nilay Patel asked him, like, what's stopping Microsoft from releasing an Xbox app on smart TVs? Like, you've got this streaming service. Why don't you do that? And Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox at Microsoft, said, I think you're going to see that in the next 12 months. I don't think anything is going to stop us from doing that. Well, that kind of sounds like a product announcement right there, folks. And a pretty awesome one, if you ask me. Everyone's used, like, if you're buying a TV now, it's a smart TV. It's got apps on it. And while 5 or more years ago, we would have been telling you, yeah, just ignore those. They're terrible. The performance of your TV is probably garbage. And those apps are never going to get updated. That's not really the case, at least not as much anymore. And there's no reason to think that some of these nicer TVs wouldn't be able to have an app that's capable of streaming Xbox games through Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and their Project xCloud architecture. So get yourself an Xbox controller for $60 or get them on sale for even cheaper. Pair it with your TV, stream Xbox games. Sounds pretty awesome. It sounds super awesome for when you're on vacation. You know, maybe it's, yeah, like maybe it's the holidays, not 2020, and you're vacationing at the in-laws and you want to play Xbox, but you don't want to lug it with you. Well, there's probably room in your luggage for a controller. And then that's all you need.
Like, I mean, probably do want to lug it with you, but your spouse is trying to convince you not to take it to your in-laws. I'm thinking that's what's really going on there.
That could be the case. That's never been the case for me. Jen has never said no when I've been traveling with game consoles.
Do you have to bring your Xbox console to my parents? That sends kind of a message, Josh. I don't know. But... Yeah. No, this is really cool, but you know, I don't know. I don't know how excited to get about this, because first of all, an Xbox app on a TV or third-party device, I think, I don't know, obviously none of us know, is just going to be the gaming piece, right? It's just going to be the xCloud piece. It's not going to be the whole Xbox experience. It's not like you're taking your Xbox as you have it in your home, which gives you access to all this stuff and your physical media and your streaming services and whatever other apps you have to monitor your house cameras or anything else. That's not what this is going to be.
Right. Most likely. I mean, it could be. I think
it's unlikely.
For this specific thing, it's almost definitely just the game streaming aspect of this. Right. I think we had talked last episode or maybe the episode before that, some rumors of an Xbox streaming stick.
Right.
And in that case, it could be more than that. It could be apps and stuff like that.
Yep.
But for this, it is probably just the game streaming experience. You're right. But that's okay. For free. And that easy, I would gladly take that.
Yeah, no, that's not bad at all. And remember, it's not free because you're paying for the service. So they're getting more access. They're getting potentially more customers by giving more people access to the service without having to pay for the hardware to use the service.
Right.
It's not an altruistic thing to make it easier for people who already pay for Xbox.
No, because you have to pay $15 a month for that service.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's really the point of this. So speaking of that service, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, they've got some updates. They've always got new updates, games that they're adding, games they're taking away every month. But with it being December, they've also got a special deal going on. So maybe $15 a month, you're like, I don't know. Well, the crazy deal that they were doing last year, it's back this year. If you still haven't tried Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, you can get 3 months of it, three for $1, not $45, which is what it would normally cost you, $1 for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, as long as you've never been a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber before. And as we talked about recently, Game Pass Ultimate now includes 1 month of Disney Plus. So if you also don't have Disney Plus, you can check that out. And now that we're into December, you're also getting a whole bunch of EA games included in Game Pass Ultimate. And this month, a lot of them are coming to the Game Pass offering on Windows PCs. So it's not, those games aren't only going to be available on the Xbox consoles. There's also some pretty big deal games coming to Game Pass this month. The ones that I'd like to point out, Control from Remedy. That game was supposed to be awesome. It was game of the year at a lot of places last year. It's been on my two playlist. I've asked for the definitive edition for Christmas because that's the one that's going to have all of the DLC and the Series X enhancements with ray tracing and stuff like that. So that's the one I'm waiting for. It's not actually coming until next year, but perhaps the base game. We don't really know for sure, but it's probably just the base game coming to Game Pass Ultimate this month. Doom Eternal also coming, another really, really great first-person shooter. And the other one that might interest a lot of people, Dragon Quest XI Definitive Edition. The other thing that has just come out for the Xbox is a new console update, the November 2020 update. They just barely were able to call this the November 2020 update because I think it came out yesterday or something like that. Like, it was at the very end of November. And one of the cool things that we're seeing here is that this update, it's on my Xbox Series X, that guy right there behind me, but it's also on the Xbox One series of devices because they're all running the same software. So that's cool. Not all of these features are necessarily going to be on there. One of them, dynamic background options, that is only on the Series X devices, I think. And I haven't actually played with those yet. I've got my home screen background set to achievement artwork.
But how hard can that be? Cool. Come on.
Like, to add that to the Xbox One?
Right. I mean, is it really that taxing on the processor to have a dynamic background?
It's probably not. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
But I only ever really heard it talked about in the context of the Series X and Series S.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some things that are a little bit more Series X and S specific, though. They are adding an indicator for the auto HDR mode that is a Series X thing. So if your game is doing this dynamically generated auto HDR stuff and you hit the Xbox guide button on your controller, which pops up the guide and it pops up the clock and stuff like that, up in the upper right hand corner, it's going to tell you you're in auto HDR mode. Hopefully you can just tell. Right, without having to see that.
It's funny, my TV does that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my TV lets you know what HDR mode you're in when it pops into HDR mode. Doesn't let you know when you pop out, but lets you know when you've gone in.
That's cool. I mean, that's cool, though. You like to know. They're saying this is new, and this doesn't seem new. They've added badges in your game library that say optimized for X/S. So games that are optimized for the new hardware. I thought I had been seeing this on my Xbox for the last few weeks. So I don't know how new that actually is. And I do not have my Series X in, you know, the fast rings, or I can't even remember what they're calling all of those early access things anymore. But I don't have my new box in any of those, and I've been seeing those Series X and Series S badges on games. And then the last new update is that you can now preload Xbox Game Pass games that are coming soon. So, like, if a game is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks, and it has the ability to pre-download, not every game does, but some of them do. Now, if it's a Game Pass game, you're going to be able to pre-download it. And you can do this from, like, your Android phone. Probably iOS app too, I would think, but I don't know for sure. Remote install, like, that actually seems to be working now. I always had problems with that in the past. I used this just the other day on both my Series X and my Series One X to install a couple of games, and it worked perfectly. I've always had issues with it in the past, but this time it worked perfectly. So that was nice to see. And that's it for our gaming news this week and for all of our Xbox updates. So we get to move on to talking about what's going on in our entertainment centers. Richard, what have you been watching for the last week?
Yeah, because that's what it's about. No hardware adjustments this week, which is probably a good thing. So I've been catching up on things. I caught up on the last two episodes of The Amazing Race, caught up on Star Trek Discovery. Wow. This last episode, if you're a fan of Leonard Nimoy, or you're a fan of the character Spock, or you're a fan of the Next Generation series, you are going to so love this most recent episode of Star Trek Discovery. It is such a wonderful tribute and a great story. I'm thoroughly impressed by it. Love what they're doing this season on Star Trek. Caught up on The Mandalorian. I'm not caught up on Hawaii Five-0, which, by the way, has ended now after 10 seasons. I am now working my way through season 9, trying to catch up on Fargo, but not quite there yet. Finished Archer season 8. I'm really glad that season's over. It was weird. I didn't like it. And I'm looking forward to something better, although it seems like their thing, their shtick from now on, is that every season has a theme. Like those TV series where each season has a subtitle. I'm kind of over that, but we'll see how that goes.
I can't think of a single show that does that.
No, there have been a couple. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I know there have been some. So, yeah, not good. It basically what it means is this is the only way we can figure out how to keep this show alive by telling like contrived story arcs. And I don't like that whole idea. Anyway, loving as we continue through Schitt's Creek. We're in season 3. This is the season when it just comes to life. It is so friggin' good. Also continuing in season 4 on Doctor Who, and we got to the point where we get to that character that I want to change how we watch this now. So I think what we're going to do is I think we're going to watch this episode where this character first appears, and then go back or then start going through watching a whole bunch of different episodes throughout the entire series to watch this character's story arc and then continue from there. We'll see how that goes, but that's my plan anyway. And then we watch.
That's a big plan.
It is a big plan. And it's like 10 episodes or more. There's a lot to it, but it's so good. It's such a good character, such a good story arc. I'm interested to see it this way because I've never seen it this way before. And then finally, we watched the movie, Hulu's big holiday movie, The Happiest Season. It's, you know, your typical girl meets girl, takes her home to her family that doesn't know she's out kind of story. It's actually really, really good. It stars Daniel Levy, who's also in Schitt's Creek, Eugene Levy's son, hysterical actor, really good. Kristen Stewart, that you probably know best from the, why can't I think of them? The vampire movies. Sparkly vampire movies.
Twilight
series, yes. And Mary Steenburgen. This is a fantastic cast. And from what I understand, this was supposed to be in theaters, but it wasn't going to open in theaters. So they ended up making a deal with Hulu. It was very enjoyable. I liked it. Edward fell asleep, but whatever. And I am still, this is, I think, 2 months now since I was at the beach. I am still 3 weeks behind on podcasts.
Come on, Richard.
I am trying.
You got to buckle down.
I am so trying. I just cannot catch up.
Get out of the house. Go for long walks.
Yeah, I walk
up that playback speed.
I'm working. So part of the problem is I'm having to write more while I'm working, and that's harder to listen. I can't listen to stuff when I'm actually writing.
No, nope.
Doesn't
no
work. Way. So no. Anyway, that's my entertainment center. Josh, how about yours?
Kind of a diverse spread of things here. So we had another one of those, well, they call it live virtual concerts, but I don't believe that it was actually live, from one of our favorite bands, Mipso.
Yeah. And from your tweets, you like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They do a good job. It was interesting because we watched their previous one, and, the previous one, they started in one place, and then the camera just watched them as they walked to another location, played a song, and then walked to another location, played another song, and then eventually ended up like on a stage at a theater somewhere. I mean, they were still by themselves, but
that's kind of clever.
It was mostly clever. There were a couple of weird parts. Like there was a part where they were like going down a staircase. That part was weird. So it's this one started with them in that same theater, wearing the same clothes. Like, I think that you recorded this for the first one.
Yeah, clearly.
And then in the middle of a song, it does kind of a cut and they're wearing different clothes. It was interesting. Like, it made me wonder if like they had been recording the previous one and then had some, you know, technical glitch, or, you know, somebody just totally screwed up or something, and they decide, well, we're just going to cut it here. We'll start this next one with that same song, and we'll just magically slice it right in the middle. And they did a great job. It was cool. And they did the same sort of thing. They walked out to like the lobby of the theater, did another couple of songs, and then walked out and like played down by the riverbank for the last two songs. And it was all really good. It was really good. So that was cool. On a similar note, Taylor Swift surprised the world over Thanksgiving by releasing something called Taylor Swift Folklore, which is her most recent album, the Long Pond Studio Sessions. So Folklore is the album that she wrote during the beginning of the pandemic. She wrote all the songs during the beginning of the pandemic.
Fantastic album.
It is a really good album. It's really kind of a mix of her old kind of country roots and some of the pop stuff. So like, if you hate Taylor Swift as a pop star, you might want to give Folklore a chance. It's a really, really good album.
Yeah, it's amazing. Her duet with Bon Iver is haunting.
Oh my gosh. I love that song. Love it. And so that entire album was produced entirely remotely too. Like the people that she co-wrote with, all that stuff, it was all done remotely. So when they got together to record this sort of biopic, I don't know what you call this sort of thing, this was the first time that she got to sing and perform any of these songs with other people in the same room. And like, they got tested and all that stuff, of course. You know, they were super careful about all of that. And like, you look at the look on her face and you can see how happy she is to be singing these songs with other people. And it's just awesome. Now, we haven't gotten to watch the whole thing. We started it one night and had to stop, as you know, it's time for bedtime for the kids and all that stuff. And we were watching it with our oldest daughter. She loves Taylor Swift. So we've got to go back and finish it, but it's really good. It's on Disney Plus. If you like Taylor Swift, there's no reason not to check this out.
How did I miss this?
I don't know, man. Like, if you just opened the Disney Plus app on Thanksgiving or, you know, over that weekend, it was the first thing that popped up.
Yeah. This is what happens when you use a discovery engine like Apple TV to curate your content.
I guess. I guess so.
Because I go into The Mandalorian and I come out and I don't pay any attention to any of the stuff in between.
Right. And usually that's a good thing.
Right.
Because it's a bunch of crap you don't care about. But in this case.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So definitely go and check that out. I think you're going to really like it. And then the only other thing that I've really been watching is All American, some more of that with my daughter. Talked about that a couple episodes ago, the football player story. on Netflix. In audiobooks, I'm back to the Throne of Glass series. I'm on Tower of Dawn, which I think is book six. It's whatever the number is before the total number of books in the series. It's the second to last book. So I just started it yesterday, though, so not very far into that one. And then on the gaming side, I mentioned earlier that I didn't go crazy buying a bunch of games during Black Friday sales because I've got a bunch of games that I already own that I wanted to play. I grabbed my Switch, started playing Transistor, which is one of the games that I bought last year after buying a Switch for Christmas. And this is a game I've been looking forward to. That studio, Supergiant Games, released a game that is nominated for Game of the Year this year called Hades. And I was like, maybe I should get Hades. And then I thought, dude, you already own Transistor. Why don't you finish that one first? So trying to show a little bit of control, started Transistor. And then also, for those of you in the live chat or maybe watching the VOD on Twitch right behind me there, that is my Xbox Series X. Why is it here at my desk, you ask? Well, that is because last week I mentioned that I wondered if hooking it up to my gaming monitor, which does, it has a super low input lag. It does AMD FreeSync. It'll go to 144 hertz. It's like, I got to try Call of Duty with all of that sort of stuff on.
I think you totally just wanted to show it off.
I mean, I did kind of reposition it for the show, but it has been on my desk for the last few days. It wasn't just here to show it off for the show. But so I'm still kind of a rookie at fully understanding all of this technology. Like, I get what 120 hertz and 120 frames per second is. I totally understand that, you know, what FreeSync is doing, like matching the refresh rate of the display to the video coming out of the Xbox so that it reduces, well, eliminates screen tearing. I get that. What I don't understand is why I have to choose between those two things. I have to choose between variable refresh rate or 120 hertz. Why can't I just pick variable refresh rate and games that support 120 hertz will just run at 120 hertz? I don't get that. So here's the thing. I did all that. I got it set up, put it in the 120 hertz mode, played more Call of Duty than I probably should have over the weekend. And I can't say that I noticed a difference. My almost 40-year-old eyes couldn't really notice a difference. I will tell you that I definitely like tried looking for screen tearing and didn't see any of that when I had the variable refresh rate stuff turned on. But I will tell you that I was playing a whole lot better. And some of that, I'm sure, comes down to the fact that the first night that I had it hooked up out here, I was playing with a friend of mine who is way better than me. And he gave me a bunch of pointers. He's like, do this, go here, try this weapon, try this loadout. And he gave me a lot of tips that were super helpful, but I don't think it's just that. So while I can't directly notice the difference, man, my kill death ratio in Call of Duty was way better after moving it out to this monitor. So if you're struggling in Call of Duty and other types of, you know, really fast paced games like that, maybe you should, and you've been thinking like, I don't know, should I buy one of these fancy new TVs that has HDMI 2.1 and variable refresh rates and all this stuff? Maybe you should tell the finance director in your house that Josh Pollard gave you permission to go ahead and go buy that new Vizio TV or whatever. I'm sure it'll go over really well.
I think you might need some other angle on that other than just refresh rate.
Well, sure. I mean, you can talk about HDR and how great the rest of the movies that you're going to watch and stuff like that are going to look. But
yeah.
Just be like, we need a bigger TV. Look how small it is when I sit at the other end of the room.
So you're going to love this. So our HOA released their proposed budget for next year, our homeowners association, and the questions came pouring in right away because they're looking to get the budget approved. One of the things in the budget was a $2,000 line item for a new TV for the clubhouse. The TV in the clubhouse is a DLP projector.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, not a DLP projector like in like the ceiling toward a screen. It's a DLP projection TV, one of those monster right. televisions that in it like only offers like a 50-inch screen.
Right.
But it's enormous.
Uh-huh.
And the first comment that came back on the budget was, why do we have to buy a new TV? Is that one broken? I'm out. I'm out. No, I wasn't out. I couldn't let that go. I had to reply. But anyway, they were also, that same person was also concerned about having to spend $2,000 on LED bulbs for the clubhouse. But yeah.
It seems like a lot. How many freaking bulbs is that?
Yeah. So here's the thing.
It's like a ton.
Josh, don't join an HOA. Just.
Oh my, I never want to. HOAs seem like the most un-American thing that they, we allow to happen in America.
They are so awful. But I mean, I love my community and I love where I live. We had no choice to live here. But yeah, don't join an HOA if you can avoid it.
Yeah, I will be avoiding that as much as humanly possible. Yeah, when we buy our next house, like it would have to be our friggin' dream house for me to buy it in a place that has an HOA.
Yep.
Which is the situation that you landed on.
Right.
You know, so that's how that works. But right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for what's going on in Richard's Entertainment Center. What's going on in my entertainment center and what's going on in Richard's HOA. So I think that pretty much does it for this show. If you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and all these other places. All of that contact information is in the show notes, along with links to every story we talked about tonight over at www.thedigitalmediazone.com, where you're also going to find Richard's other podcast called Home On, covering connected and smart home devices for the DIY people out there. So, Richard, what's going on with Home On?
Yeah, so the current episode is the one with Nathan Hart from Innovelli. I really had a good time with Nathan. We had a great discussion. I think they offer some really unique products. So I was just really enjoying that. I am hoping that we get a holiday gift episode up before the year's end, but certainly before the end year's end, we are going to have our annual technology.fm fireside chat. And everybody that listens to all of the different Tech FM shows, you know, you can listen to my other show, smarthome.fm or smarthome.fm. That's our URL. So go there too. The Smart Home Show or Home Tech or my show, Home On, you can listen to all of them. Mine's the one that's edited. Mine's the one that's going to sound the best. It's going to be the shortest. It's going to take the least amount of time to listen to. So I encourage everybody to listen to our version of that show. But it's a lot of fun. We get together with Mike Wolf and Adam Justice and Jason and Seth at Home Tech FM. We all get together and we talk about what's going on in the space.
It's always a fun episode. I like it.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Cool. And we do this show live, usually Tuesday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Whether that's standard or daylight, doesn't matter. It's just 8:30 p.m. Eastern is when we do the show typically. But follow us on Twitter to know for sure. Also, we use Twitch to do this. Like you can get to it from the DMZ live page. But if you're also, you know, on Twitch a lot, subscribe and then you'll get notified from Twitch also when we go live every time we do it. So click that subscribe button over there, in addition to obviously subscribing to the podcast in Pocket Cast or whatever you're using to subscribe to your podcast, because that's going to do it for episode 542. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.